Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Guys, we are 68 days away from kickoff. What, a week away from Texas officially being in the SEC?
Whoa.
So lots of excitement, not to mention everything that happened this weekend. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Get your questions in, and let's start with this weekend.
I have a question before we get started. Through the chat. How many Tennessee baseball fans are there in the chat today? I'm just
I'd imagine about 100% of the audience is Tennessee baseball fan today. Anyway, today and today only, maybe, but today for sure. But yeah, Jerry, a lot happened this weekend in recruiting. I mean, we've talked about it for I don't know how long now, but it all came through fruition. What's the latest?
By the way, Ben G got his Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. I've been looking for that. It's not even on stands yet. Obviously a huge weekend. Closes out the official visits for Texas for the month of June. It's actually the dead period actually begins, I think, tomorrow night, midnight, Tuesday night on the 25th, or the 11:59 p.m. on the 25th. But Texas is done with the official visit process for June. I just put a story up, decisions loom. For Texas targets on texasfootball.com. I mean, that's where we're at now. I mean, it's coming down to decisions. I think you're going to see two or three guys off the board here before the July 1st. But the majority of these guys are going to announce decisions between July 1st and July 11th, 12th in that area. And it's going to be interesting, Bobby, to see who Texas makes pushes for this week after now the dust has started to settle at some of these positions when you bring in multiple guys. And I do think Texas has a really good feel on some guys, but there were some other guys that they're kind of waiting to see what happens with. So it's going to be interesting to see if Texas starts making two or three pushes with some targets that maybe we didn't think so this week.
Jerry, I got to be honest with you right now. The question marks are around certain positions. Three commitments currently at offensive line. There may be three or four more guys in the boat that we're looking at right now that we're trying to figure out which way they're going to go. Then you look at wide receiver where there are no commitments at this time. They had two five-star guys on campus this weekend. The secondary is somewhat similarly situated. And then defensive tackle, you know, are they going to keep Brandon Brown? And with Kevin Wynn likely now going to Florida State, what's left what meat's left on the bone there? And is Texas going to be able to get back in and have a chance with Josiah Sharma, who was at Alabama this weekend, Myron Charles, who was also at Florida State? Two guys apparently go off the board, though, over the weekend, and Zion Williams, who did not make his scheduled visit to Texas from Lufkin, and then also Kevin Wynn, young man out of Georgia, who apparently is headed to Florida State at the time.
Brandon Huey, yes, there is a chance on Madden for AMO. The question is, can Texas come all the way back and upset Notre Dame, who's been the favorite for a while? But I'll say this. I said it last night on a Longhorn live stream. This is why we go to the airport. Sometimes you just find out interesting things there if you're just hanging around the rim and doing your job. Is 2 weeks ago, when Brandon Brown got off the plane, he said, I'm actually going to visit Oklahoma, not Miami, this last weekend. Okay, that was 2 weeks ago. This Friday, when Madden Faramo got off the plane, one of the UT staffers that picked him up said, good to see you back in Austin. That one went under the radar. I mean, Texas does get some guys in, and if kids don't put it out on social media, it can go under the radar. So, Brandon Huey, this was not Madden Faramo's first trip to Austin. He was actually in town earlier this spring. It was his family's first trip to Austin, and the visit it went great. I know we always talk about this, all the visit coming off the hype of visits. They had a great visit, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, everybody has great visits to Texas. They actually had a great visit, and I do think Notre Dame's being pushed right now. Can Texas actually pull that upset? Because I do think it would be an upset because Notre Dame's been the favorite for a while. We'll see, but I think the decision got a lot tougher for the Faramo family this weekend.
And Jerry, what did you hear about the secondary? Not only Cade Phillips out of Hightower, but also Aiden Anding, was on his visit. And then Dorian Brewer took that midweek visit and then ended up, going to Ohio State over the weekend. What's going on in the secondary right now?
Yeah, so I think Cade Phillips will decide either July 4th or July 6th. I think that one will be an interesting one. LSU's corner. He likes the idea of playing corner. Texas is give you a shot at corner, but he was in the safety meeting rooms this weekend on his Texas visit. I think the family, there's a couple of family members that love the idea of him being a University of Texas student athlete, right? His older brother went to Texas A&M. That value on academics along with football. So I think there's a push there in the family. I think ultimately it'll come down to what Cade wants to do. Aiden Anning will announce sometime this week by the weekend. I think Texas and Miami are duking that one out. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot. There's confidence in Austin there. Could an Arkansas pull an upset? I believe it when I see it. I think Texas or Miami is your decision. He also visited TCU, and he was in town with a number of family members, including his mom for the second time, a couple of siblings. So I think that visit went very well for Texas. DeJuan Lee announces June 28th. We don't expect that to be Texas. I think that Texas kind of took a late swing on that. Johnny Nansen got the kid on campus, but I think that one's trending to other SEC schools, namely Alabama or Georgia, probably Alabama. And then we'll see if this Texas make a move on another corner, or Tristan Castro committed to USC. We'll have to wait and see on that. On Dorian Brew, I think he may go silent for a while. July decision. Is he actually going to not go to Ohio State is the question. His mom's in the Hall of Fame there. That was the last visit. Obviously, USC and Texas are hopeful in that. I don't think LSU feels real good about that one. So we'll see on that. I think the interesting thing there is there's another corner committed to Ohio State, Naeem Offer, who's ranked very highly. Is he going to stick with Ohio State, or is he going to flip down to the South? He's from Alabama. Is he going to stick with Ohio State or flip to a SEC Southern school? That one will be interesting to watch as well. That could factor in there for Ohio State.
All right. Before we move on and talk some more here, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about Longhorn Wealth Management Group?
I certainly can, Blake. Thanks for the opportunity here. Our friend John Donovan has been sponsoring the Coffee and Football on Mondays, pretty much all year long, and we appreciate him. John's a proud Texas Exes Life member whose wife and six siblings are also all UT grads. This explains why John branded his firm Longhorn Wealth and has dedicated his firm to providing total wealth management for Texas alums, employees, family, and friends. John's a certified financial planner with more than 30 years of experience and wants to offer every OTF member and fan a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future and legacy. So whether you have a pressing concern about life insurance, a desire to get your kids' college funding program off the ground, a need to roll over an old 401k plan, or just want to have your overall estate planning strategy created, give John Donovan and the team at Longhorn Wealth a call, 972-707-4900 to schedule your 90-minute free consultation, or just go online www.longhornwealth.net to pick a consultation time and date on John's calendar that works best for you. Longhorn Wealth looks forward to hearing from you soon. Hook them.
Oh, sorry. I just meant the star of that. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead, Blake. You're muted, Blake.
I thought you wanted to talk about that question.
No, I do. I do. Bring that up if you want. I think that's a great topic.
Well, I lost it because you.
I got it, Blake.
It says, Matt says, can Javion Cole turn into the best corner in the SEC on the defensive line? Are players like Bostic, Burke, Trey Moore, and Colin Simmons, and Anthony Hill, are these guys 2005 kinds of players, or am I just excited?
I don't think Cole will turn into the best corner in the SEC. I think he'll be a very solid player for Texas with a future in football after college. We'll see on where and kind of how high that is as far as potential. D-line, yeah, I do. I think Colin Simmons and Trey Moore, absolutely those guys. And I think Ethan Burke, I think Baron Sorrell is a role player. He's not Tim Crowder. Tim Crowder was a second, third round level pick, right, Bobby? But I think the edge players overall, they are that level. they are top five level team, national championship contending edge players as a group. I don't think there's any doubt, Bobby.
Yeah, I would say that. I don't know if he meant to say it or not, but he said in 25, will they be ready to go? They're ready to go in 24.
He said 2005 level players, like meaning that.
Okay. Yeah. I get it now. I don't know if they're Roberson and Crowder. Like that one guy played 14 years in the NFL, right? And Brian Roberson. I think that where I think that Texas has maybe even that team is overall depth long. I mean, Texas has six guys I think they're going to be able to rotate through it in, you know, if you think about it, and may have guys that are situationally better at some things than others, which I think is also important.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. We'll see. I think that, you know, look, Trey Moore is going to be good. We know that. How good is the question? The other question that you have at that position is right now, what does Colton Vosick really look like? I mean, he came on strong. I told y'all that somebody told me he may have been the surprise of the spring after he got healthy.
Yeah.
Of the entire team now. Of the entire team. And so he could be a real player, adding then Colin Simmons to that mix. And again, nobody bends like Colin Simmons, but he's also a true freshman. You know, that's the question, whether or not he can do that. As far as Javion Cole, before I sit there and say he's going to be the best cornerback in the SEC, we need to make sure he wins a starting spot at Texas. And I do think that he's going to have a run for his money in Gavin Holmes. He's going to get a run for his money. Don't forget, Gavin Holmes started 2 years at Wake Forest. I know Wake Forest is not, you know, people see it like Rice or something where it's just not a great program, but they actually have players drafted from there, et cetera. He's not a bad player. I think he lacked physicality last year.
Yeah.
And I think that's something he worked on this year. So I'm not ready to just gift Javion Cole the starting position opposite Manny Muhammad. I do think he's going to play. There's no doubt about that. Starting, let's see how that works out.
Okay, well, one thing that I wanted to talk about, and I said it at the beginning of the show, guys, but a week away here from Texas joining the SEC, of course, there's that SEC celebration, free admission. I know Pitbull's going to be there, but Bobby, I wanted to kind of pick your brain on this. I mean, how – obviously, you know, you've covered the Longhorns for a long time. How big of a deal? Where does this rank all time, this conference move?
I feel like with this move, there might be some finality. And what I mean by that is the Big 12 was, when Texas moved from the Southwest Conference to the Big 12, it was seen as a seismic shift in college football. Don't get me wrong. But it was a new conference. They were creating something new. It was two big conferences coming together, or two mid-sized conferences coming together to create a quote-unquote super conference. The difference here is that there feels like there might be some finality to it, in that Texas is moving into an established elite conference as opposed to trying to create one on their own. And so kind of like a business has its own lifespan, the Big 12 ran its course for Texas. Now, I don't know that the SEC is necessarily going to run its course for anybody at this point. I mean, it may be the Microsoft of conferences, so to speak. I mean, living multiple lifespans at multiple different things. So I feel like from this standpoint, historically, it's much more of a, okay, we're now in the SEC, let's go, as opposed to let's prove that the Big 12 is worth it. Whenever the Big 12 first stepped into being in, I think, 1996, if I'm not mistaken, when the Southwest Conference folded, or Texas left the Texas and four other Southwest Conference members left the Big 12, or left the Southwest Conference and made the Big 12. This one feels like you're stepping into a more established situation. I think there may be some finality to it, like I said.
I think, look, I can tell you, doing this recruiting thing nationally, being part of all the Under Armour camps, ESPN Under Armour game and all that for years, I can tell you that talking to kids around the country for a decade from a national perspective, I would say at least 80% of kids had SEC schools in their top two or three around the country. So is it a big deal? I think it's a huge deal. And that was, I'm just talking football, right? I think all sports, I agree with Bobby from the finality part, but I think moving forward, this will give Texas, and I know the hopes were Longhorn Network and all that, that didn't really pan out, but I think Texas is going to have even more national exposure than they've ever had in college athletics as a whole with this move to the SEC and where college athletics is headed. So I think this is a massive, massive, massive move for the Texas Longhorns. And I know we talk football more here, but I think so many sports, this is a huge move. Now it's pressure. I mean, you know, whoever's a Texas baseball coach not has a different level of pressure moving to the SEC, right? Even though Texas is one of the top blue blood baseball programs, there's still a different pressure because the level of that conference. So I think everything's amped up. But I just think from a recruiting perspective, it opens up Texas. See, A&M was on the right track with it. It opened up. Look how many players they started were able to get, however that happened, from states east of Texas. And I think all sports you're going to see with Texas from a recruiting perspective, this move, I mean, you can work the deep south in a number of sports in recruiting. Not that you won't recruit out west as well, but I just think this is massive for the University of Texas athletics in general moving forward.
We all agree there. And then the other thing that I wanted to touch on today, guys, before we get to questions here, and it may be kind of hard to see on everybody's screen, but I'm going to do the best I can here. So some new betting lines have come out. Early opening lines, I guess I should say, for five Texas games now. And the Longhorns, a 5-point favorite against Michigan, an 18-point favorite against Florida, a 5-point favorite against A&M, an 8-point favorite against OU, and a 2-point underdog against Georgia. Wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Let's start. Let's take them all. Let's start with Michigan, Jerry and Blake. A 5-point favorite for the Longhorns there, heading to Ann Arbor. Look, I think Texas should win, but Michigan has a difficult defense. Texas is going to be breaking in some new receivers. We've talked about this. Is that really the timing? You know, maybe if they played this game later, I would feel a lot more comfortable about Texas and where they're at, because I know I would know what receivers are really in rotation and they're getting the best out of, Jerry. But going to Ann Arbor and being a 5-point favorite, nothing to sneeze out there.
And I love playing Michigan early, just like Alabama last year. We talked about it on this show last year or on this channel before that Alabama game. I loved playing Alabama week two because Jalen Milroe's in his second start. They had some young offensive linemen. There was new offensive coordinators, new defensive coordinator at Alabama, right? So they had some stuff going on as talented as they were. And it wasn't the old Alabama that could just overwhelm you with offensive talent. Texas goes into Michigan in such a similar situation to me from that standpoint of new quarterback. Yeah, they have experienced offensive linemen, though. I mean, Michigan's backups are really good offensive linemen, right? That's kind of what Texas is working to be. So Michigan doesn't have as many starts on the offensive line, but they still have some experienced players there. But new wideout, Colston Loveland, the tight end, first-round pick, he's back, obviously. Backup, the second-team running back, who is going to be a draft pick, is back. But outside of that, they're younger in terms of game experience on offense. They've had new coordinator changes, obviously, with the coaching staff change. Strength and conditioning moved on. Connor Stallions is MIA. So, I mean, there's a lot going on at Michigan. So, if you're Texas, you'd rather play Michigan week two than week nine, no doubt about it.
Man, I disagree. Because here's why, okay?
I would.
Here's why I say that, Jerry. I disagree. I'd rather play them week nine, okay? their defense is going to be their strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Texas's strength, we think, is going to be the offense. Okay. The offense kind of sputters early, especially when you're breaking new people in. Well, Michigan brings back maybe 4 first-round draft picks on defense and multiple other draft picks. So defense is played better early, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Offense is played better and more in sync later. So I kind of disagree with you.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I'd rather play an inexperienced quarterback 2 games into the season than 9.
That may be true. But I guess I don't think much of the quarterback between games 2 and 9, right? Yeah. I mean, like, Milroe really came on between game 2 and 9. You'd rather much rather play him game 2 last year than game 9. I don't know that this Michigan quarterback presents that level of athleticism.
I think the interesting thing with Michigan will also be where are they with that defensive coordinator change? Where are those kids comfortable with the scheme early on? They're very talented. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah. And by the way, the only team that's had a major injury thus far was Rod Moore, the starting safety, ACL in the spring. So we haven't had injuries yet. We haven't been through August training camp and then the first game of the season.
Fair.
The Oklahoma line was 8.
Yep.
Texas. Oklahoma's 8, A&M 5.
Yeah.
Florida 18. Goodness gracious.
Georgia's a 19 over Florida. So Florida's getting no love.
None. Billy Napier is either setting it up to either be the hero or the zero.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Georgia -2 when they come to Austin. So they are favored. That means on a neutral field, Georgia would be favored by 5. To give you an idea of Georgia's talent level and how people see them, that's pretty stout. We'll see how that goes. But look, Michigan at +5 is really the big one to me. Although Texas, a touchdown favorite and a 2-point conversion favorite over OU, seems nice if that happens in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that Oklahoma line is as that game gets closer, right? To me, it's going to depend solely. Their defense is going to be better. They're not going to be the 77th ranked defense in the country next year. It's the third year in Brent Venables' system. They've recruited better players. They're going to have more continuity, a little more experience there. Well, I think that line will move not so much based on what Texas does, but based on how Jackson Arnold and that offensive line look early on. Because the Sooners don't play a tough schedule early. I'm not counting out Tulane or Houston, obviously. And they do have Alabama and Tennessee, but it's going to be interesting to see. I think how Jackson Arnold looks and that offensive line looks is going to – if there's a line shift, I think that's where you may see it, one way or the other. I think it's an unknown on Jackson Arnold.
We have a super chat that we need to get to real quick. This one from Jack. Thanks as always, Jack. And he says, sorry to disappoint, but you better make that 99.9% on Texas football pulling for the Vols. Bobby knows I'll pull for the Ags, but I'll appreciate the booze.
Hey, look, there's everybody does their own thing, man. But I would bet that if the Volunteers hoist the NCAA trophy for baseball tonight, winner take all game, by the way, between the two, I think that most Texas fans will at least smirk or give a little grin at the very least. They won't want to be too proud about it, but at least they'll smirk. That's my guess.
This is a serious question, though, and I'm not kind of making – this is like A&M's – first chance to do something truly meaningful in college sports. And they're, I mean, like, equestrian national championship doesn't really count. They won women's basketball in 2012, but I mean, does any Texas fan even know that? This is their first chance to actually do something meaningful. There's a lot on the line for A&M athletics tonight because they haven't to this point. And I'm not being mean. It's just reality.
Well, they haven't this century since Hitler invaded Poland.
Right.
So let's be clear. I agree with you. I love college baseball, winning champion. I am a big Director's Cup fan. So I think all national championships in every sport are meaningful. I think to Jerry's point, football and basketball tend to put you on a different echelon, especially as it relates to big time college sports. Baseball is in that next tier. So is volleyball in that very next tier, in my opinion, women's basketball. So, yes, it would be a big move for A&M.
Speaking of big moves, Jerry, why don't you tell folks out there about Manscaped?
Man, you know it's smooth sack summer, baby. Smooth sack summer. Ladies plus gentlemen, it's my pleasure to announce that smooth sack summer is officially upon us. When you're playing in the summer sun, and boy, is it hot, make sure you're groomed from pubes to bum. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped, you can make this season your smoothest yet. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle to keep your boys downstairs cool while looking hot in that summer sun. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps. Summertime and the trimming is easy. And don't forget this. After you have that smooth sack summer, you have to have after the perfect haircut, you use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even hotter at the hottest summer barbecues. The Crop Soother, here it is, aftershave lotion and crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back.
Scare me.
I mean.
Okay, let's get to some questions here.
It's a heat wave all over the country. Smooth sack summer.
Oh, man. Forgot to give you a little sound effect today, so there you go. All right, time for some questions, guys. Plenty of time to get your questions in, so please do so. And let's just start here at the top. We'll start with Antoine. Does Wardell Mack and AJ or Jordan Johnson-Rubel redshirt or play special teams?
That's a great question. JJR and Phil Simi got a lot of behind the scenes, got some positive feedback, Bobby, we received on their special teams, like as if it's number two gunners or on kickoff coverage teams in the spring. So I do think you're going to see those guys for sure. Wardell Mack, I don't know.
Wardell Mack is more of an outside gunner in punt coverage.
Yeah.
Whereas Johnson-Rubel is definitely more of a guy that can play through traffic on kickoffs. That's my opinion.
And then Tyler wants to know, do you all think that Colin Simmons will get some valid playing time this year?
Yeah, I got him at 5.5 to 6 sacks this year.
I mean, and you're not going to get 5.5, 6 sacks if you're not playing.
I think by second half of the season, Oklahoma game on, I think he's going to be a big, big part of Texas success.
People don't realize how good he is what Jerry's saying. It's not often when we sit here and talk about 5 or 6 sacks. You know, we knew Anthony Hill was going to be good. We didn't know how good, like he exceeded expectations, I think, last year. I think Colin Simmons is that level of player, and people need to understand Texas doesn't have a lot of those on defense. They have some good players on defense, but they don't have a lot of possible first-round draft picks. And Colin Simmons is that caliber of guy if he just continues improving. That he is that got that kind of ability.
And we have a couple of super chats we need to knock out. This first one from Edmund Lee. He says, go Vols tonight. Hook them. Thank you, Edmund Lee.
Jack's going to start Jack's starting a riot in here about the A&M or Tennessee.
Hey, Blake, I'm going to hit a few questions real quick on recruiting.
Before we get to recruiting, let me do this one since it's related, if you don't mind. Dax Kelm says, and thank you, Dax, what's the latest on the Texas baseball coach search? Go Vols. I put it out on Texas Football a little bit ago, but I heard a lot of things this weekend that Texas may have found their man. So stay tuned and we'll see what happens.
Okay, we're going to go for – years of experience in this. The coach has not been fired or a new one announced. And the College World Series wraps up tonight. Next.
There, look, it's very possible they try to go after A&M's Jim Schlossnagel or Tennessee's Tony Vitello. I don't know. You know, I've been told that Texas very much wants Schlossnagel. Is that true? We'll see. Chris Del Conte likes to play his cards close to his vest until they're all out on the table. And I, to Jerry's point, I think there's a reason why we have heard nothing from the University of Texas on baseball coach while this series is ongoing. So ears to the ground, maybe starting as soon as tomorrow or Wednesday.
Yeah. All right, take it away, Jerry.
I'm going to rip through some recruiting questions. Antoine, do we go in all in on DJ Sanders now? Yes, I think Texas leads Michigan. Their decision could come within the next 10 days. I think a lot of these guys are going to be deciding here. Let's see. I'm going down the list here. Jose Rodriguez asked, and by the way, I totally missed your joke last week, Jose. I'm terrible. Thank you. It was actually very funny once I realized what it was. Maybe I missed this, but do Lockett, French, and Moore want and anticipate playing together? How real is that? I'll still be surprised if all three guys go to the same school. I'm staying on it. I've been wrong before. I just will be surprised if that happens. I think when KJ Lacy yesterday, when he left his official visit, the interview he did with the media, he was like, you know, he felt really good about French. He thinks Lockett's still deciding, thinking about things. So I think it'll be interesting to see there. Tyler Rolo asked this one, and I'm going to go over some position guys. I want to hit this. Do you think Diabel recruits some of the 2026 class wide receivers, especially specifically? I think he'll be as involved as he can be. Obviously, recruiting's changed a little bit these days, and or a lot with NIL. It's so much different than it used to be. But yeah, I do think having the big time quarterback will impact some Texas and positively, especially a kid with that type of personality, that type of moxie in the state of Florida. I think there's a lot of positive there, who's also a national guy. Living rent-free, how many edges is Texas looking to sign? Will they stay on Hilson after his public comments? I think Texas will take two edges. And now with Hilson saying he's locked into FSU, which to me with Hilson's recruitment, I'd have said the same thing if he went to Texas. This is a December deal, man. I mean, I think that's an inks dry recruitment. I mean, I think that one will have another twist or turn or two. But now it'll be interesting what Texas does with Smith Orogbo and Marco Jones, Bobby. I mean, those guys are announcing July 1st and July 2nd. Smith Orogbo was at OU over the weekend. Seems like Texas Tech and Oklahoma are all in. Where's Texas at? With Marco Jones, it was Texas versus Michigan. Headed in this weekend's visit to USC, the difference with USC before the last weekend and this weekend is Isaiah Gibson decommitted from USC, and he was at Georgia this weekend as expected. So what does USC make the bigger push for Marco Jones over the weekend? I suspect they did to try to prepare him with Hayden Lowe. I think it'll be two edges. So Tyler Rolo asks, who's the visitors list this weekend? No visitors this weekend. Dead period begins 11:59 p.m. on Tuesday. Everybody's out until late July. They'll come back with a pool party in late July. Just a dude asked, Zion Williams reschedule his visit, right? We'll see. I think he'll commit to LSU, and that'll be that. You never know. I mean, Texas will try to hang around the rim there. We'll see that. But I'm going to hit how many wide receivers – just to do asses, Sark willing to take up to four, has to be the right four. I don't think they're going to stretch on anybody at that position. I don't think they have to. So I'm going to hit a few guys here. So D-line, Kevin Wynn's expected to go to FSU this week. Josiah Sharma was at Alabama. We'll see what happens. Oregon trying to make a move. I still say the toughest call he has to make if he's not going to go to Alabama is to call Courtney Morgan, the GM at Alabama, and say, I'm not coming. That's his longest standing relationship that he was committed to Washington. He's been on campus at Alabama now four times since Kalen DeBoer took over there. So that's going to be his toughest no call to make if he indeed does go elsewhere. And if that happens, I feel good about Texas' chances. And I know Uncle Phil is going to make a run at Oregon, but I Myron Charles, look, we'll have to see on that. FSU has been considered the favorite for a while. Not as much buzz with FSU. Absolutely going to get him coming out of the visit, like Hilson, like Kevin Wynn. I know Texas is swinging away. Jeff Banks and Kenny Baker involved in that recruitment. Brandon Brown, we'll see what happens. He was at Oklahoma this weekend, and we know Oklahoma didn't try to help Texas cause at all in that recruitment. I still think it'll be LSU or Texas for him. Rodney Garner trying to swing at Tennessee, but I just think it'll be Texas or LSU for him. So I think it's pretty much down to four D-line guys in early on in this class. People have asked about Nick Townsend. If he stays in state, I think it's Texas. I think that's kind of what this is going to come down to. If he doesn't, it'll be Alabama. And I'm not saying A&M's totally out of it, but I do think it's pretty much right here. Family had a great visit to Austin. Who doesn't? But what it comes down to is if he stays in state, I really like Texas' chances. If he's if the family and everybody's open to out of state, if he leaves state, it's going to be Alabama.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. We have another super chat here. This one from Jack once again. And thank you, Jack, as always. He says, Bobby and Jerry, do you think that French bringing two of his coaches is a positive sign for the Horns? I know coaches come on spring visits, but never heard of them on official visits.
You know, they do go sometimes, normally, you know, where they drive. But, I think it's a positive. I think Texas is in a really good spot for Jamie French. He maintains he's announcing August 30th. He said if he makes a visit late July, he'd come back to Austin for the pool party. But I think Texas is in a good spot. I continue to hear he's not going to stay in state. So the threat of Miami, I'm not thinking, is very strong. I think Tennessee ends up being the number two team. But this is Texas recruitment to lose.
Okay, and then the next question that we have, fellas, is going to be, if I can find it here, I just had it. Let's do this one from E. Kim, a loaded question. Morning from Rockford, Illinois. Jerry and Bobby, what is the possible starting lineup for the defense against Colorado State? Go Oilers.
Oh, game seven. We love game seven in pro sports. Game seven, Edmonton Oilers at Florida Panthers tonight. That's going to be awesome. Bobby's starting defensive lineup, but say it and we're going to hold you to it forever.
All right, I'll go for it. I've been knuckling down on some of this stuff actually behind the scenes and trying to figure it out. I'll start with the edges, which I think are actually the easiest. And I'll go Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell. They are both incumbents, even though I don't necessarily think they're necessarily going to be the snap leaders at their respective positions at the end of the year. Okay. So this is a starter situation. At defensive tackle, I'm going to go Alfred Collins and Bill Norton at the outset. Those are going to be my two interior guys. Alfred will start it more of the two slash three technique. Norton will be a 1-2 kind of shade guy there in the middle. At linebacker, Anthony Hill and David Benda. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Those two have kind of earned their spot. Benda ended the year really being singled out by Steve Sarkisian as a team leader. He was asked to speak to the media. That is a major tell in Steve Sarkisian's world, in my opinion. So I think it's going to be Anthony Hill and David Benda. At corner, I'm going to go, Jerry, with Manny Muhammad, of course, at one corner. And at the other one, I'm going to go with Gavin Holmes to start
the season. Yeah.
To start the season. Don't know if he's going to finish there, but I do think that the last thing Texas wants to see early is busted coverage or mental errors when you go up to a place like Michigan. Okay. Gavin Holmes has been in the system for a year. Javion Cole just coming on. I do think he's more of a playmaker than Gavin Holmes, but there's a reason for that. At nickel, obviously, I think it's Jadae Barron. At safety, I'm going to go with Andrew Makuba and Derek Williams.
I agree.
Starting Michael Taft will be first off the bench. He may start even because like Gavin Holmes, he has a year's experience, 2 years experience in the system over some other guys. But I think Makuba he's just too good to keep off the field at this point. Now, maybe they go with Taft and Makuba. I would not be super surprised if that were the case either. But that would be my starting 11 on defense.
Okay, well, before we move on, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about our newest sponsor, somebody that can help a lot of folks out there, and Babbel.
Yeah, and this is actually a company I just started trying to work with because I've been trying to learn Spanish. The best way to learn a language is immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. Some of you guys, Jack, you live in Poland. There's guys that live in Thailand on here, in Korea, et cetera, as well as in Mexico as well. Babbel is the way you are actually living where a language is spoken is the easy way. You use it every day. But if that's not in the cards for you, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Fast forward to the end of 2024, think of your goals. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? And if you want to learn a new language, you should absolutely get Babbel. I'm using it right now. So be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed learning language app that actually works. And don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that really don't help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute sessions are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. The tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special for you. For a limited time, just for our listeners right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only our listeners at babbel.com/ontexas, 60% off. Babbel.com/ontexas, spelled Babbel.com/ontexas. Rules and restrictions might apply. Literally, join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups. I started this last week. I am un poquito at this point with my Spanish language, but I am getting there. It's actually clearly been helpful for me at this point.
Hey Blake, I got a question. If somebody can find this, did the game, the Tennessee Aggies game yesterday, I assume it did because it was a national broadcast, did that outdraw Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese yesterday? If somebody has that, let me know.
We'll find out there.
I think Stanley Cup will blow that away tonight.
I wanted to get y'all's take on this before we get to some questions. Came out with their team position rankings, and this is for Texas here. They have quarterback ranked number 3 overall, wide receiver and tight end ranked number 5, offensive line ranked number 4, defensive line ranked number 8, and defensive back ranked number 6 nationally. Too high, too low in some spots, just right. What are y'all feeling there?
I think D-line's too high. Although – Jerry, they added 3 guys that played hundreds of snaps.
But I think D-line's combining edge, too.
So yeah, I know it's combining edge, too. And I also think defensive back may be too high.
That's the one that I think's too high for me.
You know, they don't have enough playmakers back there right now for me to say that the defensive back should be 6 overall. Quarterback, I've got no problem with. Wide receiver, tight end. If anything, I think that's going to end up being low by the end of the year. Offensive line, anywhere 1 to 5 is fine with me. That's going to be elite. Yeah, I think Pro Football Focus typically does a good job. There are some times where they have those head turners. I don't know that D-line is out of range. I think defensive back may be out of range right now. I think it's 10. It's going to be 10+ in that category. Jerry, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think D-line, I'm fine with D-line because I think the edge play is going to be take such a step up this year that D-line as a whole, I think, is going to be right there in top 10 unit. I'll be surprised if it's not. DB too high. Again, I think, I think they got to have, like you said, more playmakers back there. I do think Manny Muhammad's going to be a guy talked about plenty nationally this year. I want to see how these, they need a fourth corner to step up to me because somebody's going to get injured. It's football. They need that depth piece to step up in the secondary. So at safety, I feel much better about this year than last year. I think that is maybe the most improved position on the team. I think just bringing in Makuba is such an upgrade over Jaron Thompson or Keaton Crawford. Keaton Crawford just wasn't a safety trying to play safety. And I think the young kids coming in are going to be good players, add more solid depth. Then you have Derek Williams in year two. Michael Taft is a returning piece to that. But I think safety takes a huge step this year and see what Jelani McDonald does. So I would say DB is a little high for me. I would say DB is probably outside the top 10 right now. I'm fine with everything else. I think offensive line, if Cam Williams has a really good year and DJ Campbell improves in pass pro, if the right side has really good years in pass pro, I think Texas offensive line will move up because that right side is going to be really dang good in the run game. But if they match it in pass pro, then I think Texas will be a top two or three offensive line.
I hope so. That's going to help. That will really help mitigate some of the strengths of the SEC. That is probably the biggest and best news, not only that Texas has a third-year starter returning at quarterback, Jerry, but we all hear about the defense in the SEC. We've heard about it for 20-plus years, right? The offensive line can help mitigate that issue for Texas. That's one of the strengths of Texas going into 2024. And one of the reasons why I don't think Texas fans are, quote-unquote, worried about going to the SEC.
I want to bring this up by Tyler. I agree that Georgia has a tough DL, and I'll say this. Here's the crazy thing. They're not even close to what those two national title teams had up front, though. Those teams had, like, Jordan Davis. And those guys were disruptive. Trevon Walker. I mean, those guys were disruptive in your backfield, whipping your butt type of guys. This group is not that level. They're good. They're draftable guys. But that D-line had, what, two first-rounders and a second-rounder? If not three first-rounders? They don't have that. But they're good, but they aren't that.
Hey, Jerry, I think we need a –
the best DL Texas is going to play this year.
Jerry, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I didn't mean to. My apologies. The thing that I think we need to do, we're about 45 minutes into today's program. Appreciate everybody being with us. I wanted to circle back because Texas had a huge recruiting weekend. We've had – 1,000-plus people essentially join us over the last hour, whether it's via Twitter or on or the YouTube, et cetera. I think it's time to circle back a little bit and give people some expectations based on your knowledge of this weekend in recruiting. Also, I want to ask you this. How many highs are out there in your opinion? And what I mean by highs are that's your inside signal of guys that have told Texas coaches and said privately to others that they have committed to Texas. Now, whether they end up doing that publicly, we always know is a different story. But just give folks out there a little taste of that so they can get some info quickly.
Yeah, let's go through the official visitors. We'll start at wide receiver Jamie French. We went over that. I think Texas recruitment to lose. Decision August 30th. Maybe back in late July for the pool party. Came with brought his family, older brother. That was mom, dad, older brother, a couple of coaches from Mandarin were also on hand. That was a big visit. Kalik Lockett, I think, is in the balance. I think there's confidence in Tuscaloosa, confidence in Tallahassee. A&M thinks they're in it. Texas is in it. We'll see what happens. My question with that's always been, if behind the scenes it looks like the Corian Moore and French are headed to Texas, will Lockett as well? I would say it's less than 50-50, but we'll see. That's recruiting talent. Nick Townsend at tight end. I think if he stays in state, Texas is in a good spot. I know A&M's still battling there. If he goes out of state, it'll be Alabama. So I think that family had a great visit, and I think Texas has at least a 50-50 shot there. Really could come down to family wanting to keep him close to home versus him going to Alabama. I think, obviously Arch, the offense, Steve Sarkisian, Jatavion Sanders. He was hosted by Jordan Washington. I think Texas is in a good spot there. I think the family had a really good visit, and we'll see what happens with that one. I do think that decision comes down to close to home or not. I really do believe that with Nick Townsend. I think he could probably see himself at either spot. Then we go to offensive line. Michael Fasusi, I think, had a really good visit. I think Kyle Flood may do as good a job as there is in college football right now on the offensive line of communicating and illustrating development and process and tying it all together into a recruiting presentation for guys. Also a nice touch by an experienced recruiter, Kyle Flood, wearing the Nigerian soccer team shirt there for the photo with Michael Fasusi. That's going to be a late August decision, it seems like, or around the start of the season. Meaningful date for Fasusi. I think Texas, Oklahoma is where the battle is, and will keep swinging. But I think Texas, there's some confidence in Austin there. Other three linemen were committed. Then you move to D-line, DJ Sanders. I think Texas has a healthy lead over Michigan. Decision could come in the next 10 days or earlier. I think Texas is pushing harder than A&M there. Then I think you get to linebacker, Madden Faramo. I think Texas is really pushing Notre Dame. I think, look, for this guy's been a Notre Dame lean big time. Texas brought out everything they had. They brought out all the big guns for that weekend and that recruitment with Madden Faramo. And I don't know if Texas can pull the upset, because I do think it'd be an upset, but Texas is in position to, and that's really all you can ask. And he'd been on campus once before under the radar, which was interesting. So Johnny Nansen's been working on that a while. Then at defensive back, Cade Phillips, Aiden Anning, the two to kind of really know from last weekend. Cade Phillips is going to – we've been saying this for a while. Once he canceled the A&M visit, it was Texas or LSU. It's going to be at Texas or LSU. LSU, Corey Raymond selling corner, corner, corner. Texas is selling give you a shot at corner, but he was in safety meeting rooms with Blake Gideon on the visit. He's going to announce July 4th or 6th. We'll see what happens there. I think the family prefers Austin. Aiden Anning, Texas, Miami. I think Texas put their best foot forward. I think there was some confidence there in Austin on Aiden Anning, one of the more underrated prospects I think Texas is recruiting. Then you had a Nathan Tillman, who wasn't on campus, decommitted from SMU. That seems like it's going to be Texas or TCU. I think there's confidence in Austin on that. He also visited Utah. Then we had some guys around the country and other places. We talked about the FSU guys. Kevin Wynn expected to go to FSU this week. We'll see what happens with Myron Charles. Josiah Sharma was out of Alabama. Michael Terry was at Oregon. Oregon selling running back. Nebraska selling wide receiver. A&M and Texas are saying athlete. He's being told by the out-of-state schools absolutely what he wants to hear to try to get him. Texas and Texas A&M are telling him athlete. We'll figure it out. That's one of the more interesting wild card recruitments out there. Lamont Rogers, offensive tackle at FSU. I think Texas thinks they're right there in that. We'll see. Dad lives in Vicksburg, Mississippi. He hasn't made all the official visits. Mom's had a family situation. She didn't make the Texas visit, most of the A&M visit. So that kind of is a tougher one for colleges to read. I think there's some hope there on the Texas side. I think John Mills, Texas leads Washington, as they have. Nick Brooks, I think Texas and Georgia are duking that out. That's a later August, September decision. So what will Texas offensive line class look like at that time? How many guys will they have in the boat? But I think right now Texas is probably the favorite over Georgia for Nick Brooks.
Good stuff, Jerry. We'll talk more about a lot of this stuff later today. We're actually going to do another video talking just about defensive tackle recruiting. We'll have that up around noon today. Hey, Jerry, before we get going here, I want to ask you this question. Mike Barr, Jerry, you said Texas had 5 silent commitments. CJ said 6. Did you two compare lists differently? Did either change their number after discussions? Looked it up, and I think it's 6, Jerry.
I think what he may be referring to, though, is last night we asked when we were doing the live stream, out of the 9 official visitors Texas had last night, how many did we think would end up at Texas? And I said 5, CJ said 6. I think that's maybe what he was talking about.
Okay, but I think there's 6 highs right now based on what you and I have talked about, just for the record, just so everybody gets that. We can't keep up and put one out there for everybody, but look, a lot of this stuff's going to be coming down this week. A lot will be coming down next week as well. I mean, that's just a matter of fact. We can't make these guys move up their timeline. Hey, before we get going here, I want to say thank you to our sponsor one more time. That's John Donovan, President, Longhorn Wealth Management Group. As a proud UT alum, John served for 15 years as a Dallas, Texas Exes board member. Now he's helping lead the build out of the Collin County Texas Exes up there in Dallas. His passion for UT drives his volunteer commitment to not only serve his fellow alums through his dedication to the Exes organization, but he also has focused and dedicated his own firm serving the wealth management needs of his fellow UT alums and all UT employees. John's a certified financial planner who spent more than 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to Longhorn families and friends across the country. So to receive a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family secure your own financial future, simply call the Longhorn Wealth Team, 972-707-4900, or schedule an appointment online at www.longhornwealth.net. And as always, John says, hook them.
Yeah, Odin Horns, yes. The guys will be there for SEC Media Days to answer your question. And we have another super chat we need to get to before we get out of here, guys. Jay Lee, thank you, Jay. He says, heard someone ask this, and it helped me feel a lot better about our defensive line. Aside from a few teams, who has a great defensive line? A ton of teams are just like us at that position.
Not many were like them last year. You know, it all depends on the time. What the issue here, Jay, and what I think people are getting at, who consistently has that defensive line that rotates through first and second round draft picks? Frankly, there's been three in the last, 5 to 10 years. Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. Now, Michigan looks like they may be headed in that direction right now. With the two guys they've got coming up, the guy they had drafted last year, they've had some other guys drafted as well. Texas wants to join that pantheon. And there was a time when, like, look, you can lose it too. Texas was one of those teams under Mack Brown for a while. LSU was one of those teams. They're not anymore. So, you know, where that will end up, you're not wrong. It is there are a precious few teams that have real depth and quality at defensive tackle. Just doesn't exist that often in college football.
And we'll do one last question, guys. We got to get out of here a little early today. We started with talking about the SEC and, you know, joining within a week. So we'll end with that. Michael Rodriguez says, good morning. I'm looking forward to seeing how the officiating will be like for Texas in the SEC. What are y'all looking forward to in the SEC?
I look forward, as far as the officiating is concerned, I do want to make this one comment. I look forward to people who subconsciously don't hate Texas. That's what I really look forward to. I think that referees, by and large, there may be a couple of them out there that are just biased, but by and large, they're actually good people trying to do the right thing and the right job. I just think subconsciously, they can't help themselves sometimes. That's my opinion. I'm looking forward to now, instead of 90% of the refs coming from the state of Texas in the Big 12, now you go into a conference where they don't have these preconceived notions or hate or dislike of Texas if they're not specifically a Texas fan. So I don't think you get that. I think you get more ambivalence in that level of officiating. And so I am very interested in that. My number one thing for going there is really the weekly in and out of playing name brand programs. I'm ready to play Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida, back to back to back, Kentucky, A&M, Arkansas. You know, that's fun for me. As a guy that has covered college football, I'm ready not to have to, no offense to Iowa State, but we kind of made Iowa State into a big game. It really never should have been. No. Kansas State and football. Those are good teams. Oklahoma State, good teams. Don't get me wrong. But they don't carry the cachet of the other schools that I'm talking about. And not a single one of them.
Yeah. I like it when people call their shots because they ask us to call our shots all the time. So Elliot Gilliam's predicting the number one class in the nation. Hey, that'll be a heck of a shot if you call it. I don't agree. But it doesn't mean you won't be right. I think there's still a lot of five-star talent in the state of Georgia this year. Georgia's got the upper hand on being the number one class at the end of the day because of that.
Alabama's got a hell of a lot of momentum running right now, too, in recruiting. Yep. So, and look, those two could very well go 1-2, whichever way they go.
And Ohio State could be 3. And then, wow, who hasn't seen that before? I mean, but that would be a heck of a call. Because the odds are stacked against it because Georgia has so many five stars in that state this year.
That's right. Okay, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. We want to thank them along with Babbel and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. If you haven't already, be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com. Become an OTFOG. You can use that promo code OTFOG. You'll get a full year subscription for $39.95. You can't beat that deal at all. And then we would love for you to hit that like and subscribe button and ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we post a video or go live. And between those two things, you shouldn't miss anything at all when it comes to Texas news. And there's a lot of it right now, whether it be moving to the SEC, recruiting, team news is about to really get going again before too long as we're 68 days away from kickoff. So, like I said, guys, just head on over to ontexasfootball.com. Be sure to subscribe to the On Texas Football YouTube channel, and we will have you covered. Thank you all for tuning in, for the great super chats, the great questions. Sorry we didn't get to all of them, but we will be back same time, same place tomorrow morning. For Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you then.
Hook 'em.